Today I want to speak to the daughters of God. It is a Mother's Day weekend, and even though I'm speaking to the ladies, we are all daughters of God, no matter if we're mothers or single like myself. But I believe also the men can get something from this as well. A leader, the word leader, is defined as a person who influences others. Each one of us, women today, are leaders. And you men as well. So don't forget, men, wherever I got the word women, you can put the men in there. But each one of us, women, are leaders. We have the opportunity to influence others. And for mothers, your first opportunity is influencing your children. Leaders are human beings who represent God, His character, and His purpose to those whom they called to influence. Sister White, servant of the Lord, and I love her books, I truly believe that God has really inspired this lady. I truly believe she was a prophet from God. I have did the testing that the Bible says to test the prophets. And she meets every criteria that God has indicated in His Word. If you have not read Sister White's book, Daughters of God, I would suggest you go to the ABC to get it. It is a beautiful book. You should have all her books. They're beautiful. I'm reading now The Desire of Ages, a book that was placed down in the United States as the number one book on the life of Christ. Sister White saw leaders as people God called by the Almighty God, our Father, to know Him and to pass on the knowledge and purposes of God to the people. As women, ladies, we have been called by the Most High Father, Jesus Christ, to be leaders for Him. This morning, I would like for us to take a look at some of the biblical women leaders, because I want you to see that God is still using women for His glory every single day. And we're going to walk through these examples together. Let's just bow our heads, shall we? Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm just an old piece of clay, but Lord, You can fashion that clay. I'm just a humble servant, Lord, that wants to speak what You have spoken today. Oh, Father, bless each dear lady that is here today. Lord, that they would be an influence, that we would influence others around us, whether it's children or men and women, Lord, that we would influence them to find You, to come to know You as their personal Savior. And bless the men, Lord, of these fine ladies that are here today. Lord, may they give support and comfort. And Lord, that they will be strong together as leaders for You in this world that is headed for destruction. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Women of the Old Testament, you might want your Bibles, because as you know, I like to have my Bible open and follow along. The first woman we're going to look at is Esther. Good old Esther. If we turn to Esther chapter 4, verse 14, we see she was chosen by God to save the Jews in the land of Persia. And if you remember, there was a decree sent out by King This is hard for me to pronounce, so be with me. King Ahasuerus. I don't know if I got it pronounced right. And of course, the one that was behind all of this plan was mine's gone blank. Haman, thank you. I was going to say Naaman, but it was Haman. Thank you. And he wanted the Jews destroyed all because Mordecai would not bow to him. I will not bow to a person. If the queen was here today, I would not bow to her. The only one that I bow to is Jesus Christ, the Almighty God, and that's it. I will not bow to other people. But here was Haman. He wanted people to bow to him. And so Mordecai got in touch with Esther, because Esther was a Jew like Mordecai. And so Esther said, I don't know. She said, if the king doesn't want to see me, I can't, I could be put to death. And so Mordecai says to her in verse 13, do not think, Esther, in your heart that you will escape in the king's palace any more than all the other Jews. For if you remain silent at this time, relief and deliverance will arise for the Jews from another place. But you, referring to Esther, but you, Esther, and your father's house will perish. Yet who knows whether you have come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Chosen by God to save the Jews in the land of Persia. In the book Daughters of God, page 45, by Sister White, she tells us that in ancient times, the Lord worked in a wonderful way through consecrated women who united in his work with the men whom he had chosen to stand as his representatives. We work with the men. We are all in this together. He used women to gain great and decisive victories. She further goes on to say, and all these, what I will be saying, are direct quotes from her books. So if anybody has any issue, you can come to me and I will give you the page number. And it's her direct quote. This is none of my words today. She further goes on to say that more than once, in times of emergency, he brought them, women, to the front and worked through them for the salvation of many lives. Esther saved her people. It was God's will for her to be where she was at that time. You know, ladies, we go through a lot of stuff, don't we? Let's face it, you know, lady, I know the men do too, but ladies, we go through a lot of stuff. And sometimes we don't know why. Why God allows a certain thing. Why he doesn't allow a certain thing. But ladies, if we trust him and we trust his plan, and his answering in his time, we will be right where the Lord wants us to be for such a time as this. The next lady, Deborah. How many remember Deborah in the Bible? Remember Deborah? She was one of the judges. We look at chapters 4 and 5 of Judges, a prophetess and a judge. Imagine that now, a lady judge. As a prophetess, she was a spokesperson for God. As a judge, she made decisions on God's behalf. Daughters of God, in the book Daughters of God, pages 36 to 39, quotes, then the Lord raised up Deborah, who was like a loving mother to Israel. So single ladies, if there's any here, guess it's just me. Oh, and Rachel, right? Celine, good to see you again, honey. Like us, we are mothers, like Deborah, to Israel. Spiritual Israel. So the Lord raised up Deborah to be a loving mother to Israel. God sent a message through her to Barack, not Obama, this is Barack in the Bible, that he should prepare to meet Sisera, Jabin's general in battle. Okay, this is one woman. She's got a good nerve. She's going to be prepared now to send a message to this guy to meet Jabin's general in battle. She got gumption. Deborah dwelled in Israel, a woman illustrious for her piety, and through her the Lord chose to deliver his people. The people sought Deborah for counsel and justice. At Barak's request, she accompanied him to meet Sisera, and thus she supported his efforts by her influence and counsel. You see, ladies, what we do every day, whether it's at home, out shopping, at the workplace, we are being watched. Now, don't become paranoid. We are being watched as to our character. If we say we are Christian and we love Jesus and we follow God's word, we are being watched. They are looking at our characters. They look at our body language. They look how we treat certain things. We are an influence. We all are. The women of the New Testament. Well, this is quite a few, but we're only going to touch on a few here. The first of all, we have Mary Magdalene and other women. In Luke chapter 23, verses 55 to 56, let's look there, shall we? What were they up to? In the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 55 and 56. And the women who had come with him, who's him? Jesus, from Galilee, followed after, and they observed the tomb. Now, this was at Jesus' crucifixion. He was in the tomb. And how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. They prepared spices and fragrant oils to bring after the Sabbath to the tomb. They were busy. They were looking after the Lord as per their culture to bring spices and fragrant oils. But it was going to be after the Sabbath, because when Jesus was gotten into the tomb, they took him down just before Sabbath. But by the time they had him in there and they rolled the stone closed the tomb, Sabbath was in. But they really didn't get a chance, did they? To prepare the spices and the fragrant oils, and didn't get a chance to bring it on the next day, the following day after Sabbath, which was the first day of the week, which is Sunday. But they went anyway. They figured he still was going to be there. So in Mark 16, 1 to 7, was the first visit to the tomb on resurrection morning. We're instructed by the angel to go and tell. What were they told to do? What were the women supposed to do when they got there? Go and tell his disciples that he is risen. Ladies, we have an instruction from the Lord to go and tell that Jesus Christ is risen. We all do, men included. Go and tell about Jesus. Go and tell about this world that's on the collision course with itself. Go and tell that Jesus Christ is coming back. Go and tell to the hurting person that Jesus loves them, that Jesus cares. Go and tell that hurting mother who maybe has just lost their child that there is comfort in God's holy word. There is comfort in Jesus Christ. Go and tell that woman out on the street selling her soul, her body, that Jesus loves them and he's got a better plan for them. The Samaritan woman at the well. I love this one. In John 4, verses 5 to 42, we have the story. She was the woman who Jesus told her all that she ever did. How would you like someone to come and tell you that you didn't know, and as far as you knew, didn't know you, all that you ever did, the good, the bad, the ugly? What would you think of that, ladies? Well, Jesus did. The first woman evangelist was that Samaritan at the well. The first woman preacher. Now, a lot of people, I don't have a problem with a woman getting up to speak. Now, maybe there are some here who do. But I believe we're all pastors. Every one of us. All the pastor means is you shepherd the flock. Okay? That's all it means. You're looking after, you're doing what God telling you to do. So, she was the first woman pastor, let's say. She wasn't ordained. No, I don't go with that. She was not ordained. But she spoke. As we all should speak and should not be afraid to open our mouth to preach Jesus Christ. We are all pastors. We all have a job to do. Sister White states in The Daughters of God, page 63, that the Samaritan woman went forth publishing the news. Come. See a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? What would you think if someone told you all they did, all you ever did? I was at my doctor's office there yesterday morning getting my B12 shot, and I found that they're coming online now with these computers. All the doctors will have a computer. All the secretaries there got the computer. And all they have to do is punch in your MCP number and they can call up everything about you from the time you were born. Whatever medicals you had from the time you were born to now. And if something is archived, they can get that too. The only way people would know all I've ever done since I've been on this planet 58 and a half years, they'd have just nobody. Might be a couple of exceptions, like my brothers, my sister, but even they don't know everything. But Jesus does. He even knows what you're going to do before you do it. So here she's gone to all her family. Come, see a man which told me all things that I ever did. Is not this the Christ? Through her report, many came to hear him for themselves and believed because of his own word. Because of Christ's word, many believed. Sister White further states that the Samaritan woman proved herself a more effective missionary than his own disciples, who saw nothing in Samaria to indicate that it was an encouraging field. I mean, they didn't want nothing to do with the Samaritans, and here the Lord was sitting down having a grand little chat with her. They didn't know what to make of it. They saw nothing in Samaria worth fixing. They wanted nothing to do with them. They had their minds fixed upon a great work to be done in the future. They did not see that right around them was a harvest to be gathered. Ladies, around us is a harvest to be gathered. If you have children, that's where it starts, with your children, from the cradle up. And if medical science is correct, that a baby, when it's in its mother's womb, can hear or detect things, then it will start there as well. I remember my mom, and my brother and sister here can attest to this. Before we would leave school in the mornings, in the kitchen, we would be on our knees, and she would be praying for us. And we recite the Lord's Prayer together before we left the house. Now, I don't remember this one particular incident, but my brother and sister probably do. I guess Bill probably does. I was just a little baby in the playpen. And they were kneeling down by the side of the table to say prayers. And Mom looked up, and here I was in the crib with kneeling down, with my hands folded and my eyes closed. I don't remember that. I was too young. But you see what influence does? And to this very day, I still, every morning, I pray and say the Lord's Prayer and ask for God's direction of the day. Everything we do is being watched. But through this Samaritan woman, whom they despised, a whole cityful were brought to hear Jesus. A whole cityful. Because one woman went and said, "Come and see this man who knows all I did, ever did. Is this not the Christ?" She carried the light at once to her countrymen. This woman represents the working of a practical faith in Christ. And then in Acts 18, verses 1 to 4, and also 18, verses 28, along with her husband, we see Priscilla. And they were tent makers. And no, her husband's name was not Omar the tent maker. Along with her husband, we see Priscilla. And they were faithful in teaching others about Jesus Christ. Paul, we all remember who Paul was. He was also a tent maker. He worked closely with Priscilla and Aquila. That's her husband. They had a home church, and she's mentioned quite equally with him. She pastored the church alongside her husband. So husbands and wives work together. Give Bible studies. Ladies, give Bible studies. Men, give Bible studies. Work together. Pastor God's flock together. In Philippians, we have Euodia and Syntyche. I think that's how it's pronounced. Philippians chapter 4, verses 2 to 3. Paul the apostle, encourages the brethren to help these women who labor with him in the gospel. So men, pull up the bootstraps. Get on fire for God. Help the ladies. Ladies, get on fire for God. Help the men. Work together. Philip had 4 daughters. In Acts 21, verse 9. That's all. And the only thing, the only time that it's mentioned is in this particular place. Acts 21, 9. Philip the evangelist. We all remember Philip because he spoke to the eunuch, and then he was cut away to somewhere else. And we also know now that he had 4 daughters who prophesied. There were 4 daughters who prophesied. And these are just a small few of women who were active leaders in the Holy Scriptures. Each one of us is a leader. We influence others, especially us ladies. Where our husbands are out, maybe is the only, and some of us too are working. But we are mostly with the children. God did not see fit to allow me to have children. And that's okay. Because I believe he's got me where he wants me. And I love all children. Think the world of them. I have a couple of favorites, but that's because I'm biased. My nephews, and I have one niece that I can spoil, even though she's 30-some-odd years old, 35 this year. I have 7 great nieces, and I have 1, 2, 3. I have 6 nephews. And now I have a great nephew. So do they need influencing? Oh yeah. They need it. And I pray for them every night, as well we should. We should pray. You know, ladies and guys, children are growing up in this diseased, decayed world today. There is stuff that is being removed from schools. Our history is not the same as it was when we were growing. I know at the university, they have a class, because I worked there registrar's office. People coming to get their marks put in the system, coming to take courses in the university. They actually have a class in witchcraft. They can learn you how to be a warlock or a witch. Our children are being deceived by the greatest deceiver of all time. We now have cannabis legalized. And from what I've seen, kids don't know the difference. It can be like candy. They're taught, and we had it in our Sabbath school lesson today, this week, about sexuality. That's being taught into school. I know of a little girl who's only 12 years old that thinks now she may be a lesbian because of what she's learning in school. And who was influencing her? Her school friend. We have to make our influence bigger. We can't be silent anymore. Jesus is coming, ladies. And if that means we gotta keep our children home and homeschool them, then so be it. Because what's out in our schools today is not even fit for an adult, not alone a child. I'm sorry if I seem a bit strong on that, but that stuff makes me angry. I happened to be flicking through the channels yesterday afternoon to see if a certain program was going to be on tomorrow. And what do I see being advertised is to having a marathon session on of Harry Potter. Ladies, mothers, we need to pray for the children. That should be our number one goal, is the children. There's an old saying, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. In Ellen White's book on leadership, Ellen White on Leadership is a book that was written by Cindy Tuch. And it's also, these, what I'm going to say, are also in the book, Daughters of God, are some of Ellen White's principles on being a leader. Principle number one, the leader encourages leadership opportunities for women. If you're a leader in your Sabbath school, you're a Sabbath school teacher, encourage leadership. Take the initiative. Go influence people. Daughters of God, page 228. We are told to learn what needs to be done to reach other women. Did you hear that, ladies? We are told to learn what needs to be done to reach other women. We should give Bible studies and presenting the Word of God in its simplicity to others. Don't be afraid. It's God's Word. What do you get to be afraid of? It's not going to fail. God's Word will not come back to Him void. And what's the worst they can do to us? They can kill us. So what? If we're in with Jesus and we're serving Him, well, I got news for them. If you kill me, buddy, guess what? I'm coming back. I'm going to be raised again. You might bring me low, but you'll never bring me down. As I know the master of the wind. In Manuscript Releases, Volume 5, pages 325, 326, the servant of the Lord states, there are women, and this is her direct quote, there are women who should labor in the gospel ministry. In many respects, she says, they would do more good than the ministers who neglect to visit the flock of God. That's a direct quote from the mouth of Sister Ellen White. Not my quote, but she's right. There are places, ladies, we can go that men cannot go. We have gone through things that men have not gone through, so we can sympathize with others. Words to lay members, review and herald. August 26, 1902, Sister White states, and I quote, that the Lord has a work for women as well as for men. So you see, men, you're not by yourself. We're here to support. We've got a work to do too. They may take their places, that's the women she's referring to, in His work at this crisis, and He will work through them. If they are imbued with a sense of their duty and labor under the influence of the Holy Spirit, they will have just the self-position required for this time. We need to lean on Him, lean on Jesus Christ. Ask God, show us, Lord, where do You want me to be? What do You want me to do as a woman Who are you going to send my way today that I can minister to? Principle number two, a leader provides preaching opportunities for women. Pure example. Address and appeal, setting forth the importance of missionary work, Review and Herald, January 2nd, 1879. She says, we are told that women can be instruments of righteousness, rendering holy service. It was Mary that first preached a risen Savior. If there were 20 women where now there is one, who would make this holy mission preaching? All preaching is telling the good news about Jesus Christ. Their cherished work. You're also comforting others. We would see many more converted to the truth. The refining, softening influence of Christian women, she said, is needed in the great work of preaching the truth. Don't be afraid of the truth. Don't cover it up. Don't sugarcoat it. Just have it right out there. We need more of that. We need to be preaching more. Men, same goes for you. Don't sugarcoat the message of salvation. Don't sugarcoat that this world is about to end as we know it and that Jesus Christ is coming. Don't pussyfoot around with the truth. Just open the mouth and pull it out there. In God's strength and will, he'll make sure that it goes forth where he wants it to go. Don't worry about how you're going to tell somebody. Oh, how am I know some people. Oh, how am I going to tell this person about Jesus? Well, they won't like me very much. I mean, they're my friend now, but they won't like me. We won't be friends anymore. What odds? Who cares? Their soul is more important than that friendship. And I'll tell you something. When you do tell them about Jesus and they come to know them as your personal Savior, you'll have the best friend in the world. I worked with a young lady, very beautiful young person, way back in 79, 81. She's here today. I think back to those years and I wondered if I let my light shine. I can't remember. But I'm trusting Jesus I did. But there have been many times by the side of my bed I would wonder where this person was. And her name would come before me. It was as I was reading my Bible and doing my Bible study, and I get down and I pray, as I always do when someone's name comes before me, I will pray. I believe God has put that, and it has happened to you folks, I'm sure, that a name that you've forgotten or a person you forgot come, and you've prayed because God is telling you that person right now needs prayer. You don't need to know what it is or what it's about. Just pray. And I'm glad I did because that person, thank God, she's here today. And she's keeping the Sabbath. And she's ready for when Jesus comes back. And her husband she brought with her. And I know one day her children will be here too because I know she's a good mom. And she's a praying mom. The Excellency of the Soul Review and Herald, May 9, 1899, she stated, teach this, my sister. You have many ways open to you. Address the crowd whenever you can by any association that can be made, the means of introducing the leaven to the meal. So whenever you can, whatever means you can, and however you can. Always be ready, the Bible says, in season and out of season to preach the word of God. I do it at work all the time. Surprised I'm not fired, but I do it at work all the time. To the point now that people are looking. I've been off sick leave since January, and I know people, customers have come in, where's Alice? You know, she's such a joy, and I don't mean to sound my own horn. God help me. I don't mean to. But she listens. She said, I've had a problem. She said, and she's listened. And she said, beknownst to, you know, unto anybody, she's even prayed for me. Show the love of God, no matter where you are. Even if that person has bumped into you at the mall with a shopping cart in the back of the heel, bless the Lord, O my soul, and bless your servant, Father, and bless the lady that hit me in the back of the heel. Address the crowd whenever you can by any association that can be made the means of introducing the leaven to the meal. But there is a but. When you go to speak to someone about Jesus Christ, you had better pray first and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you. Principle number 3, a leader allows the Holy Spirit to anoint whom he will. Evangelism, page 472. We are told by the prophet of the Lord that there should be selected for the work wise, consecrated men who can do a good work in reaching souls. Now, she didn't leave the men out, so you don't feel left out today. She says, women also should be chosen who can present the truth in a clear, intelligent, straightforward manner. We need among us laborers who see the need of a deep work of grace to be done in hearts. And such should be encouraged to engage in earnest missionary effort. There has long been the need for more this class of workers, she states. We must pray earnestly. Lord, help us to help one another. Self must be buried with Christ, and we must be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God before we can even go out and tell others about Jesus Christ. Testimonies to the Church, volume 6, page 322, ladies. It is the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit, and this is her quote, it is the accompaniment of the Holy Spirit of God that prepares workers, both men and women, to become pastors to the flock of God. Each one of us are pastors. Even the children are pastors. Because when they meet with their friends in school or their friends who maybe live on the same street, they can tell them about Jesus. Manuscript released, volume 18, page 380. The Lord desires his ministering servants to occupy a place worthy of the highest consideration. In the mind of God, the ministry of men and women existed before the world was created. That's Ellen White's quote. Ladies, as leaders in the gospel message for Jesus, we must constantly be in prayer. Constantly. Paul tells us that we must always pray without ceasing. You don't have to be on your knees. I pray coming along the highway. Even though Will said a prayer for safe journey over the highway, I still prayed. I'm at work and I'm serving a customer, but I'm praying for that customer. Always be in constant prayer. Submit to the will of God. That's the big one. I find we all have problems, men and women alike, submitting to God's will. We so much want to do our own thing. We ask God to do something for us, and then what do? We say, Lord, okay, I'm going to leave this with you, but what do? We're not 2 minutes, minute off our knees when we start trying to figure out a way to do it ourselves. And I'm just as guilty, but I'm learning. I'm learning that I have to submit my will to God. He knows the end from the beginning and all points in between, and I know absolutely enough to know I don't know nothing. So I'm going to trust him. He's not going to fail me. He's promised that. No matter what happens, we have to follow his 10 commandments, not just one or two, because if we do that, the Bible tells us in James that we've broken every one of them. We have to follow all of them. And yes, I know it's kind of hard. You see your next door neighbor with a brand new big Crown Victoria car. I don't know if they still make them. And you say, gosh, how come I can't afford that? I'd love to have that. How come I can't afford that? Lord, give me a new car. Listen, if you've got a car, the Lord gave you one. It's running. And it's got gas in it. Thank the Lord for what you have, not for what you don't have. If something happens, you end up getting sick, or you something happens that the worst of all, you could lose everything. Thank God for what you do have. You got your health. You got your family. You got a means. You got him. That's the most important thing. You've got Jesus Christ. And trust him. Be thankful. Work happily with others in the church, presenting ourselves to others in modest manner, such as in speech, dress, character, etc., that will bring glory to Jesus Christ, Son of the Most High God. Ladies, we are daughters of God. We are an heir to the mansion. Our Father owns everything. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, the wealth of every mind. Answer his call. Do his service no matter what some may say to you. Pray for them. Leave them in God's hands and continue on doing what God has called you to do. Well, that's what people will say. People will say anything. I mean, that's their choice. And they've been given that choice by Almighty God to go out and say what they will about God's word. They've made their choice. But what odds? Leave them in God's hands. God will deal with them. Trust me. God will deal with the person who is hurting you and your family. He will deal with the person who's laughing at you when you go out and you minister to Christ. He will deal with that person at work that does whatever they can to torment you. And the devil will use it. Trust me. Listen, the devil is alive and well, and he's living on this planet Earth. And he will do whatever is in his power. But listen, put them in God's hands. There's an old song. You can talk about me as much as you please, but I'll talk about you down on my knees. Leave them in God's hands, because let me tell you, leaving a person in the hands of an angry God is not good. But leave them there. Let God deal with them. And the funny thing is, God may even use you to help that person turn their life to Christ. But only if you release your will and put your life in God's hands and follow his calling. There's a lady, her name is Joy Swift, and many of you people probably have heard of her. She wrote a book called They're All Dead, Aren't They? Her and her husband, they had a few children, maybe five, I think, or six, was it? Five or six? Five. They went bowling one night, her and her husband, and they left their children home with a babysitter. And one of the friends, young fellas, of one of the friends of one of her boys came over. He killed each one of them. when they got in touch with Joy Swift and her husband, and she came home, the only words out of her mouth to the police officer were, "They're all dead, aren't they?" That's the name of the book. She had a right. She had every right to hate this person. It's a true story. To hate this person. She even had every right to do harm to him. But when she became a Christian, she's Seventh-day Adventist lady. She went to the prison where this young man was. And she told him she loved him. She told him she forgave him for what he did. She ministered to him. She told him about Jesus Christ. Can we do that? Are we solid in God as much as that? That we can do that? To love someone who's killed our children, or someone that has slandered our children or our loved ones? I'm not perfect. By no means, folks. I'm standing here today, and I'm just as guilty of everything as all of us. There is a quote that I would like to take from our Sabbath school lesson that we had a few years ago. It was on page 83. It says, "When the Lord blesses people, there is no point in developing jealousy or seeking their doom." No point. God will continue to bless them if he sees fit. And I would also add to that, he will make them a blessing to others. When the Lord blesses people, there's no point in developing jealousy or seeking their doom. No point. And let me tell you something. If you are jealous, or if you are unforgiving, it will eat you out, and I don't say this lightly, it will eat you out like cancer. Because the only harm it's doing to you, not to the person that's hurt you or done something to you or whatever. Could be your next door neighbor. Could be your own family. It only hurts you. It's only going to destroy you. In closing, let me encourage everyone here, everyone, from the oldest to the youngest. I'm somewhere in the middle. Let me encourage everyone to keep serving the Lord. Serve him now more than ever. We're sailing through stormy weather. All God's children need to get together. Jesus now, more than ever. I know the way gets weary, and I know the path gets steep, and sometimes it often seems there's little reason from a human standpoint to carry on, but there is the greatest reasons of all, because one day that sky will break asunder. The trumpet will sound. Jesus Christ is coming back. When he does, he will take his children. That's us and those who we've gathered in for the Lord. He will give. We will stand before him. He will take us home. We'll stand before him. Give account of our service to him. And ladies, daughters of God, if we are faithful, we will hear him say, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord." If you're here this morning, you don't feel very close to God, you feel it could be closer, make that commitment this morning. Serve Jesus. Now is the time, the Bible says. Now is the day of salvation. You see, we don't know where we're going to be when we leave this building. My dad didn't know 25 years ago when he came from the heart specialist with a great report that before the day was over, he would be sleeping in Jesus. I know we're not perfect. We won't be perfect until Jesus comes, but through his righteousness, we can serve him, trust him, follow his leading. And our closing song this morning talks about that. Number 573, I'll go where you want me to go. If he wants you to go down the street to that woman down there in that old fallen down house, and she's not very rich and she's got poor and everything, go see her. Go talk to her. It could be that you were called for such a time as this. It could be that lady's last day alive. Something we could say or you could say that would cause her to just utter a few words like the thief on the cross. We never know who we're going to influence.